chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4. I want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet. We always appreciate people doing that, and very thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to go out over the internet. Even our local folks here, when they're not able to attend, many of them listen in via the internet, and we're thankful for that. I did want to mention to you, and I'm sure Billy will probably put it on the chat roll there, but we will not be having our evening Bible study tonight. This is the week that we have our annual fall picnic, and so we'll be doing that, and we'll not be broadcasting tonight. We do plan on broadcasting next Thursday night from Kentucky, but that could change due to some circumstances that may happen, but we will probably be broadcasting next Thursday night. All right, if you would this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4, and I want to read just one verse here. I mentioned to you a moment ago that we were going to talk about stewardship. And I know when people hear that word, particularly in religion, that they generally think about money. I remember when I was a boy and growing up in the churches that I grew up in, that once a year we had what we called a stewardship drive. And that was all about getting people to sign pledge cards and pledging to give a certain amount of money, and so the budget was based on that. And it even got to the point where some churches would send out statements to people that didn't meet their pledge. And I even heard of stories, and I don't know if these are true or not, but people being told that they weren't welcome back at the church until they caught up on their giving, that kind of thing. Well, there's a different stewardship that I want to talk to you about this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, that word steward, it's a word that's used throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament. And it really simply has to do with a manager or an overseer. Go back, if you will. Let's look at a couple instances back in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, there's a verse there where Abram is concerned about not having a heir. God had told him that in his seed were all the nations of the world going to be blessed. And in Genesis 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" It would appear that Abram was suggesting, perhaps, that the steward of his house would be the one that would bring forth the heir. God said, no, that's not what it's going to be. The point is that he had a steward. He had an overseer. Look over in Genesis chapter 43. In Genesis chapter 43. Genesis 43. In verse 19, "And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food." Look over in chapter 44, in Genesis 44, 1. "And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth." Then down in verse 4, "And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have you rewarded evil for good?" Then if you go over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 12, in Luke chapter 12, a passage that really better defines the term is Luke chapter 12 in verse 41. Then Peter spake unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? So we see there is that the steward was the ruler over the household, and had a very unique and particular and distinctive position in relation to property and that kind of thing. So if you look up the definition of a steward in Webster's dictionary, it simply says one who manages another's property. So it has to do with a manager. It has to do with an overseer. One that works for somebody else in the capacity of overseeing something such as a farm, a ranch, a household, or whatever. Now, when you think about that, the Apostle Paul, when he uses the terminology there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he is talking about the mysteries of God and what our ministry really is. And it's important that we understand that this ministry, he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Hold on here and look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, he says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So the stewardship, the steward, has to do with a ministry. And that ministry, in chapter 1, verse 4, says, Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, we've been studying 2 Corinthians on Sunday night. And one of the things that we've seen in our study, and you can find this in reading 1 and 2 Corinthians, that is prominent throughout Paul's writings, is the fact that there were always those that were questioning Paul's authority, his apostleship, and his right, if you will, to be preaching the Word of God, which was dramatically different from what had been spoken prior to his conversion. So he says in that first statement, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. That's what we are. We are his ministers. But we're not the ministers of Christ to carry out the ministry that was committed to the 12. The ministry of the 12 was carried out by the 12 and those that were saved under their ministry. Now, there is this attempt today by many people to try to lump all the believers into one body. But come on, folks, there is a distinction between the ministry of the 12. When Christ sent forth the 12 in Matthew 10, he said, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're not proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're not going only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why is that? Well, it's because the Apostle Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, and Paul said that we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, within that mystery truth, that body of truth, are many mysteries. There's the mystery of the catching away of the church. There's the mystery of the gospel. There's the mystery of God's will. On and on you go with these mysteries. And Paul says that we are ministers of Christ and stewards, that is, the overseers, the keepers of the mysteries of God. So we need to understand and realize, if a man had a steward of his household, that steward was not free to make decisions that were contrary to the will of the one that employed him or that he worked for. He had a responsibility to carry out that, the one that directed everything, the owner of the property, he had a responsibility to carry out his will. So it is not our place to decide what we think we ought to be doing. It is our it should be our desire to do what God says that we ought to be doing. He said, preach the word. He said to preach the cross. And he says that we are ministers. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And those mysteries have to do with the truth that came through the Apostle Paul. Yes, there were mysteries pertaining to the kingdom. But those mysteries were made known to the 12. And they taught those things. They preached those things. Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Now, we're stewards of the mysteries. They've been entrusted to us. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul is preaching things that were not previously known. They're called unsearchable riches. Why? And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now all of that has to do with the great and glorious truth that today people are being saved by the grace of God through the preaching of the gospel and are added to the church, the body of Christ, as they receive that truth. People aren't placed in the body of Christ because they've been baptized, because they repeated a prayer or joined a particular church. They're placed in the body of Christ because they trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. There are multitudes of people today that believe that if you're not part of their church, their group, then you're not saved. Well, listen, salvation has nothing to do with what tag you wear or what name you name. Denominationally speaking, it has to do with what you've trusted in. And us being stewards of those mysteries has to do with us carrying out the ministry that God gave us. You see, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. And it might not seem right to stand for the truth that we stand for, but you've got to follow what the Word of God says. We've got to look at the Scriptures. Compare Scripture with Scripture. And so we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Now there's all kinds of stewardships in the body of Christ. Mark was talking this morning about the different ministries within the body of Christ. There's pastors, there's teachers, there's all kinds of functions in the body of Christ. In a household, the husband is to be a good steward of the mysteries of God and the truth of God's Word. And he has a position there as an overseer of the house and so forth, the household. But that doesn't diminish the wife's responsibility at all. It's just a different position. So we are stewards of the mysteries, that is, the truth that have been entrusted to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 1, Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, what did Paul say that power was? He said the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God, notice, in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, if you go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says there in verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, we're not going to look at all those individually, but let it suffice to say, the mysteries of God have to do with the body of truth committed to and given to the Apostle Paul, written down in your Bible in Romans through Philemon. We believe all the Bible is written for our reading and for our learning, and we need to be established in the Scriptures, all the Scriptures. But our instructions are found in Romans through Philemon. And if we're going to be the ministers of God and stewards of the mysteries of God, overseers of that truth, then we have to know what that truth is. And there's no better way of knowing that than to simply continually read and study your Bible. You'll be surprised. You know, we did that reading through Paul's epistles in 1 month. If you did that every month for a year, you would be amazed at the knowledge that you would have in relation to issues that are presented, and when they come up, it would come to your mind, maybe not exactly the chapter and verse, but it would come to your mind where the answer for those problems is in your Bible. And you'd be able to turn there and find it. You see, I had a man tell me one time I was teaching a Bible study. I've been preaching now for 35 years, folks, and so hopefully I've learned a little something. But I was teaching a Bible study, and this man was fairly new, and you know, it's real easy to impress people that are new. I mean, Paul Allen at one time said he thought I was the smartest man in the world, and then he met with me a few times, and he knew I wasn't. You know, the fact is that when you're preaching and teaching the truth of God's Word and people start listening to it that don't know anything, you sound like a genius. And by the way, even if you don't know a whole lot, when you start talking to people out there in the world, you probably know a whole lot more than they do when it comes to the Scriptures. And that's not a boastful type thing. I mean, you know, people say, well, knowledge puffeth up. Well, listen, knowledge also is that which equips us to do and perform the will of God. Paul said that we are to be established in all wisdom and knowledge, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And so I was teaching this Bible study, and I've been going there several weeks, and this man says, man, I just want to open the top of my head and just let you pour all that stuff in there. Because he said, I got so many people I want to talk to. I said, well, I want to tell you something. Number one, you don't want to know all that's in my head. And I said, besides that, it didn't get in there overnight. It comes through study. It comes through, and you know, the thing about study, and we're going to probably touch on this next Sunday in our Sunday school hour, but the thing is about how to study the Bible, but whether you study particular things or not, there's a tremendous benefit in just reading the Scriptures over and over and over again. The Because then when you hear something, you say, I remember what the Bible says about that. And you can go back and you can find it. You see, folks, if we are stewards of the mysteries of God, we need to know what they are. You know how you could find that? Look up mystery in a concordance. Run all the references you can on the word mystery. And you'll find out what some of those mysteries are. But the point is that if we are going to be a steward, an overseer, we need to be equipped. And Paul said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that we might be equipped. We might be truly furnished unto all good works. So he says there in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as a minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you've got a large amount of money, a business that's worth a lot of money, you know what you want? More than anything else, you want somebody to oversee that business that is faithful, that you know that you can depend on. I have an uncle that was in the dental practice for years and years, and he was in a small town, Wetumpka, Alabama, and he knew everybody there because he grew up in town. His dad owned the local feed and seed store there. And so when he went to dental practice there in that town, since everybody knew him, they figured that they didn't have to pay their bills. And so he got to where he couldn't make a living there. He had more money on his, more debt than he had income. Well, this was just about the time when they were starting to come out with these dentures where you could go to the dentist and have your teeth pulled and be fitted for dentures and walk out the same day with dentures. And so he went back to the University of Alabama Dental School, and as a matter of fact, they'd gotten in such a position that his family came and lived with us while he went back to school for a period of time. And then he moved to Miami, Florida. Perfect place to sell dentures. And the man became a millionaire overnight almost. I mean, he was making those things so fast. It was phenomenal, the money that he made. He had a lady working for him that he thought he could have full trust in. But he noticed that the income wasn't quite seemingly up to where the business was as far as the number of patients he was seeing. And so he had some outside auditors come in. And this lady had, month by month, taken over $200,000 off the books and put it in her own account. And it almost devastated him. But he recovered from that, moved from there, and went up to Tampa, Florida, and again made bukus of money. You see, the point is, Paul says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul was a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And God desires, you know, when you think about him going to the cross and dying for our sins, he doesn't ask a lot of us, but he does desire that we be faithful. Faithful to the ministry that he's called us into, to proclaim the truth of his word, to proclaim the gospel and make it known to people. We need to be, a steward needs to be faithful. He needs to be reliable. He needs to be dependable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, down in verse 17, Paul said, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You see, that's what God desires of people, is faithfulness. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says in verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." You see, God committed this dispensation to the Apostle Paul. Paul faithfully wrote down the words in your Bible, and much of the time he was in prison when he did so. God has preserved those words for us, and what he desires of us is that we be faithful. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and notice what he says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I think there was only two groups that he addressed as being faithful. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he never called them faithful. He rebuked them over and over again. And that's what God desires of us, is faithfulness. Faithfulness to carry on the ministry that God has called us to carry on. He said, "Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not." You know what it is to faint. I have only fainted one time in my life. And it's a helpless feeling when you start heading toward the floor. I'd had the flu. I'd been in bed for a week or so. And my mother had gone out to the car. I was about 14, 15 years old at the time. And my aunt came over to bring something, and my mother went outside to get it, and the phone rung. And I jumped up out of the bed and answered the phone, and I said, "Hold on a minute, I'll get her." And that's the last words I remembered. And I started toward the door, and I fell face first into the coffee table and cut my head and so forth. And I can remember feeling like just everything was turning black all of a sudden, and I was out. Paul said, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. You see, when you faint, you're not in the race anymore. You're of no value. We don't quit. We don't stop just because of the opposition. We don't stop just because of things aren't going well. If that was true, folks, this church wouldn't be here today. Because there was a time when it was very difficult. It was very hard. But you know what? There were some faithful saints who believed in what was going on here, who believed in this message, who believed in standing for the truth of God's Word, rightly divided, who believed in preaching the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. And because of that, because of their faithfulness in supporting this work, and I'm not talking about just being faithful to a denomination or a church, but I'm talking about faithful to the ministry, the ministry of getting the message out. That's what it's all about. He says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said, "A dispensation of the gospel was committed unto me. If against my will..." He said, it was still committed to me. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Now notice what he says. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You know, I can imagine God looking down from heaven and looking for a man that's going to carry out this ministry. And God, in His infinite wisdom, obviously knew that here this man Paul, at that time called Saul, he was faithful. He was so faithful in what he believed that he was having people put to death that resisted what he believed. And so this most unlikely candidate, God saved. And he gave him this dispensation of the gospel and the dispensation of the grace of God to carry out the ministry of making it known to the world. He didn't choose one of those Pharisees that wasn't willing to stand for anything. Here was a man, Paul, and Paul says to himself, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. You see, there's some times that people feel like because of their past, because they've been so bad, done so many wrong things, that they could never be a witness and a testimony of the Lord. Listen, your past or even your present has nothing to do with that. What God desires from us is to be faithful with the Word of God and to proclaim it to people as we have opportunity to make it known. Faithful ministers. And that's what Paul was. He was faithful. And he was faithful to the end. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Now, the third thing I want you to notice. Stewards of the mystery. Number one, we've been entrusted with something. That something are the mysteries of God. It's the message of grace given through the Apostle Paul. Stewards are to be faithful. But stewards are to always remember that what they're overseeing is not theirs, but it belongs to the one that hired them or that bought them. You see, this is not my ministry. I hear people talk about that, and I realize what preachers mean when they talk about my ministry. But in reality, it is the Lord's ministry. We're just stewards over that which God has given us to do. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul said, we have this ministry. But we have to remember that even though we have this ministry, the ministry is the Lord's. We are His stewards. 2 Corinthians 4, we read a moment ago, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And notice the next verse, and the first word is, but. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see, the ministry that we have is contained within us. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's wonderful to have a Bible and to be able to turn there and look at the Scriptures. But folks, the doctrine that we have that is our security is that which is within, that which we know, that which is of the heart and soul and mind. And Paul said, we have this treasure. What is that treasure? Well, he's just told us what it is. It's the glorious gospel of Christ. Where does that dwell? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, it has always fascinated me how this thing works as far as God is concerned. Because God has chosen to use the members of the body of Christ to accomplish in the world today what He wants to accomplish. God is not supernaturally making people do anything. Man today walks around with a free will. He is free to believe whatever he wants to believe. If he wants to believe there is no God, he can believe there's no God. If he wants to believe that all the Bible's written to him and try to follow all that, he's free to believe that. But we're also free to believe that the Bible, when it says that there is none good, no, not one, that there's none good, no, not one. And that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're also free to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. We're also free to believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. And when we believe those things, then we're able to share those things and tell other people those things so that they too can know what we know. Why? Because it's through that knowledge and understanding of all that Christ did at Calvary that we can understand that our sins are forgiven. And that's a great blessing. So you see, the tendency then is of man to be puffed up. Look what I know. Look what I have. Like the Apostle Paul said, that thorn in the flesh was given to him lest he should be exalted above measure. So the tendency of those that know the truth is to glory in that which they know. So God fixed it so that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So no matter what we do in doing as a steward of the mysteries of God, it's always God that gets the glory, because I've never saved anybody and couldn't. All I am is an instrument to open my mouth and make the truth known to people. And you too can be that kind of minister. You don't have to stand in a pulpit to do that. You'll come in contact with people this coming week that I will never come in contact with, and that probably nobody else in this congregation will come in contact with. Be a good steward of the truth of God's Word, proclaiming it, because it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the work is the Lord's work. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or back in 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, Apostle Paul says there in verse 5, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." You see, the person who waters, the person who plants, the person who waters, is not what's important. It's God that giveth the increase. Look over in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, lady did a little cross-stitch thing one time years ago, framed it, and it's hanging over my desk, and I love this verse. I look at it every time I sit down there, because it says in verse 58, "Therefore," now Paul's just finished talking about the catching away, and he says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you see that? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what the word vain is? It means empty, without use. Well, there's a couple of things in the verse that are very important. Number one, abounding in the work of who? The Lord. It's the Lord's work. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so it's not ours, it's His. We're simply His stewards, the overseers of this truth that's been committed to us through the Word of God. And He says, it's the work of the Lord, and your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, it takes labor to carry on a local ministry. I believe in the local church. I believe God ordained it. And I believe there's a purpose for it and there's a ministry for it. Some people, they don't really see that. They think that, you know, you ought not to meet in groups like this. You ought to just meet in homes, that kind of thing. Well, it doesn't matter to me. The building has nothing to do with the church. I mean, if we were meeting in a rented building down the road in a gas station, it wouldn't be any difference. The church is the people. That God will that people come together. He ordained elders in every city because there were problems there in the church. And the reason that I am so thankful for the local church is because it enables the work of the ministry to go beyond simply what an individual could do. I'll tell you this morning, folks, the things that we've been able to do through the radio and TV and internet, they would not have been accomplished had one person set out to do that. I appreciate people's faithfulness to this ministry. Why? It's the Lord's ministry. It's not your faithfulness to me that's important, it's your faithfulness to the Lord. And as long as we are doing God's will here in this assembly, we need to be faithful to do it. We are His ambassadors. We are stewards. And it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And we need to all be faithful. Faithful to the Word, faithful to the work, and most importantly, faithful to the Lord to do what He's called us to do. To be equipped so that we can be His ambassadors and make known to other people this glorious truth of His grace. And we need to do it for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?